Welcome to Profiles in Prosperity, the leading podcast for residential service contractors, sponsored by Service Roundtable and hosted by David Heimer.
Hi, this is David Heimer. Welcome to Profiles in Prosperity. You are in for a great treat today because I'm talking with the amazing Renee Lucas. I'm not going to give you a lot of background on Renee and Travis Lucas, the owners and founders of LCS Heating and Cooling in Indianapolis, because we covered all that in episode 82. Listen to it. It's great. But today, we're just talking with Renee because at the recent Service World Expo, she was named Woman of the Year. See, I'm not the only person who thinks that Renee is amazing. So, Renee Lucas, welcome to Profiles in Prosperity.
Hey, David, it's so great to be back. Thanks for having me on today.
So you were just awarded Woman of the Year. Congratulations. Extremely well-deserved. What do you think about that? What was it like to receive it?
Oh, thank you. Oh, my goodness. I was blindsided. So let me start there. I was completely surprised by it. I didn't actually even know the award was being given at the Women's Breakfast at Service World Expo. And so there were so many emotions that I had. And Travis asked me if I remembered the speech that I gave afterwards. And I had to listen to it again. And I was like, okay, I didn't sound like I rambled too much because, I was overwhelmed and I was so honored and, oh my gosh, I was grateful and so many emotions all at once.
Wow. Well, congratulations. It is wonderful. I'm so happy you got it. And seriously, it is really well deserved. So
thank you.
Wonderful.
I remember when we first started going to our first conferences back in 2017, I remember the first Service World Expo, we were at Caesars in Las Vegas. And when they were handing out awards and reading the recipients of these awards and everything that they had done for our industry, I remember thinking, one day I want to win an award. And it was really cool because one day came at the beginning of October. It was really, really just one of those moments where you stop and reflect and you think of how far you've come and all kinds of gratitude going on.
Well, you've come a long way. It's a wonderful story. So in episode 82, I interviewed you about your and Travis's company and the difficulties that you experienced, how you ultimately overcame all those difficulties, and you grew a tremendously successful business. Catch us up on what has happened with LCS since then.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you, the biggest news is we built a new warehouse. And so we had been working out of two different locations. Now, they were on the same street and only a couple doors down from each other. But with everything with the pandemic, our vision for the new warehouse was a little delayed by a couple of years. And so since then, our warehouse is complete. We are working out of it. It's really been a game changer for us as far as efficiency goes in our day-to-day operations. And I think what I'm most excited about, we are currently building out a training room in our warehouse. And so we'll be training our existing technicians and installers. And for new people that join our team, anybody that's entry level, we'll be able to put through our own training program rather than having to always rely on outside sources, which a lot of times are out of state. And so they're great programs, but it can create a little bit of a hardship when you have to travel. So to be able to keep that in-house is very exciting.
Yeah, it's great when you get to the size that it makes sense to bring the trainers to you rather than the other way around.
Yes, yes. I tell you, Travis, so a little bitty piece of that with some of the virtual training with the Oculus and things, we had that a while ago, and Travis got so engaged in playing the Oculus on his own that I finally had told him, I was like, this is not for you. It has to be set up for everybody. And so we have to share. So it's exciting because, you know, there's definitely the hands-on piece to it with the actual, you know, furnace and heat pump and air conditioner setups in the training room. But then there's also going to be the controls and the zoning and, you know, all the wiring things. And then the virtual side of it, which is just a lot of fun, especially for our gamers out there.
Yeah, good stuff.
Yeah.
So I've been to your facility before, your office, and did you build off of that or are you in a different part of town now?
We're the same place. And so we actually moved into a building that held our offices. So it was a vet's office prior to them, but the land it was on included a pretty large field. And so it's not connected to our existing building, but it's on the other side of the parking lot. And so there we were able to build our warehouse.
Got it. Yeah. Well, awesome. That is so cool. Next time I'm in Indianapolis, I'm going to come out and visit it. I can't wait to see it.
Yes, please do. And I don't know if you remember, but all of our meetings were held in the basement. It was like the dungeon of our office space. And so we have a really nice conference room, an entire wall. I stole this idea off of somebody that I do some networking with, but one entire wall is this massive whiteboard and we have so much fun with it. It's just, it's a very, very different look and feel than what we were working out of before. It's great.
I love a good whiteboard.
I know, me too. I like space. The big grand things that we can lay out.
Yeah. So what are the next challenges for you and LCS?
This has been probably the most challenging year that we've had in a few years. You know, here in Indiana, we've experienced some very mild weather from season to season. And, you know, you don't like to rely on or blame things on the weather, but you combine that with, you know, just general inflation and, you know, there's still some shortages out there that can create some hardships. And it's just created a little bit of a tough year compared to the last couple of years. And so, you know, part of that is being diligent about staying on track with our goals. And quite honestly, there's some goals that we haven't met this year. And we've had to revise those a little bit, you know, keep morale up and continue to work towards the bigger vision that we have rather than kind of getting stuck in that day to day. And so I think honestly, as we go into 2024, I think we're going to continue with some of these same challenges. And so it's just keeping that growth mindset in front of us, our vision statement, which is to create a business that provides opportunities for health, happiness, stability for our employees, who create raving fans out of our clients. And so, you know, keeping that in front of us as we work towards our goals. And that's really, no matter how challenging things get, that's what we're going for.
Yeah. Keep the eyes on the prize and focused on the future.
Yes, 100%. 100%.
So you're Woman of the Year and you're obviously very successful. I'd like to ask you a little bit about women in our industry. Should companies do anything different to attract women employees?
You know, quite honestly, I don't think companies talk about it enough. You know, many times when we see any sort of recruiting message out there, you know, it's for a technician or for an installer, for a specific position. But I think as an industry, we really lack on what an amazing and sustainable career the trades really are. And so I know our company, you know, we've had some appearances on television, like some lifestyle shows on our local TV stations. We do some things on social media and really highlight the women in our industry. And so our service manager is a woman. We have a technician who's a woman. We've got some different positions in our office that are women. One of the greatest sales professionals that I know, she's a woman down in Texas at a company. And so I think just talking about it more and reaching out in some of our marketing messages to both men and women would go a long way from what we're doing right now as an industry.
So what advice would you give a woman who is entering our industry?
I would say to ask the questions. And so many times, you know, when we think of, let's take a technician, for example, we think of all of the things that can be kind of downers about it. So being on call, maybe having to work evenings or weekends or holidays or different things like that. But a lot of companies, they really do want a nice work-life balance and they really do their best to be flexible. And so if there's something with childcare or, and you know, this really goes for men and women, but I think with women, because we think of all of the things that we have to do outside of work, right? And so when we think about managing the household, which, you know, so many of our women have families, we think about what does that look like and how can schedules be adjusted and what does childcare look like? And a lot of companies are really willing to work with people on that, but we have to know what some of those hardships might be so that we can work on it. And so, you know, to women getting into the trades, the biggest thing I would say is communicate. Communicate with a little, you know, what are your goals? What are your challenges right now? What are your strengths? What are your weaknesses? And so work together so that you can have that amazing career that you're looking for in the trades, but then also have that balance of your life outside of that. I think just communication is key.
That's a great answer. Thank you. I think women would particularly like working for you. You would be a great woman boss, wouldn't you?
Well, thank you. I tell you, when somebody asks me, like, what do I want my legacy to be? Or what's my purpose? What am I driven by? I'm driven by goals and I'm driven by accomplishing goals and investing in myself and others. And, you know, my legacy is, I've always said, one day when I'm gone, I want somebody to look back and say, man, that Renee, she was the best leader I ever worked with. That's my legacy. And that's what just to better ourselves and to grow. It's what keeps me going.
Yeah. Well, I'm pretty confident people are already saying that about you, but keep working at it.
Thank you. Every day I do. So,
so are you a premier coach with Service Nation?
I am. Yes.
How do you like that?
I love it. I'm very passionate about helping other businesses get past those, I'll say early on challenges, but like our early on challenges, as we discussed, we're 11 years into our business, right? And so you don't know what you don't know. And helping others navigate that to be able to really become the company and become the leader that they want to be, I'm very passionate about that. And so helping other businesses navigate that, it's very rewarding for me.
My guess is that your style as a coach is kind of a no BS, call it like it is style. Is that true?
100%. I actually just sent a text to somebody that I was working with last week. And I said, I want you to think about this, but the problem may be you. You may be in your own way. And I was so proud of her because she responded back and said, I think you may be right. But you know, sometimes when we're in it every day and we don't get to see that bird's eye view from above and we don't see that we're actually the ones hindering our own progress. And so whether that be, maybe it's a control issue, maybe it's a trust issue, maybe it's a kind of a training issue on I just don't know how, but unless we face those and we tackle those head on, we'll always be caught in that. And so, you know, they always say that whether it's your business or something in your personal or something else in your professional life, but you're only going to go as far as what your ceiling is. And once you hit your ceiling, you can't grow any more than that. And so how do we burst through that ceiling? How do we rely on other people to get us there? How do we invest in ourselves to learn something different or become open-minded or try something new to kind of burst through that ceiling? And so that's my approach, is very much so, I don't care how small the steps are, but every single day, every single week, we have to be doing something to be working towards the bigger picture.
So I want to turn this a little bit, some slightly off topic questions. One of the many things I admire about you and Travis is your dedication to good vacations and good travel. I think I do good vacations, but I'm nowhere close to y'all's league. You're in a completely different league from me. So what's the best vacation you've had so far?
Oh, this is such a hard question. This is the hardest question you've asked me so far. And they're all so different, and there's all of them.
It would be better if I gave you the top 10.
Yeah, no, it absolutely would. Okay, if I had to pick one, I'm going to say that, so last December, we took a couple of weeks and we went to Europe to go through the Christmas markets. And that was something that was on my bucket list. It had been on my bucket list for a while. And so we started in Budapest, Hungary. We went through Slovakia and then through several stops in Austria. And I think what was so unexpected about it and so memorable is all of the Christmas markets were different. And so some were geared more around food. Some were geared more around like drinks and socializing. And some were geared more around huts with like little crafts and shopping and things. And so, you know, some of them were huge and there might be like carousels and Ferris wheels there and a ton of lights. And some of them were really small in these little squares, maybe between like a cathedral and a couple of restaurants. And so it was such a neat experience and it was such a neat way to see all of those different cities. Travis really thought, I'm not going to lie, Travis was like not super excited about this vacation because it was all geared around Christmas markets.
Yeah.
But he loved it. He loved it. Like the places that we went were just beautiful. It snowed. When we got to Salzburg, Austria, it snowed. It added to the whole experience. It was just very memorable and it was a beautiful trip.
You know, I followed you very closely. You could probably feel me stalking you on Facebook when you were on that trip. I went through all the pictures and the whole thing. And I was wondering if you were going to choose that as your favorite, because that always sticks out in my mind. That's a great
vacation. One thing that I love about Facebook, I know some people, you know, are wishy-washy about social media or whatever, but I love Facebook memories. And so I know too that when I put something on there, then every year I'll get to go through those pictures and the memories of those. And I just love that.
It is a lot of fun. Today we're recording this on Halloween, and today this picture of me popped up dressed as a vampire. Hilarious.
It makes you laugh. And especially, yeah. You know, say you're having a bad day and you pop up and then you can scroll through those memories and it makes you laugh. It makes you feel good.
Yeah. Good way to keep you feeling happy.
Yes.
So another kind of off topic question, favorite business or motivational book?
My very first kind of always go to book is the E-Myth. I do love Traction. We're currently working right now to implement the EOS management system. And so I've read that book a number of times. Profit First, I follow that book. I actually heard that author speak at a conference. He was a keynote speaker and it just made sense to me. And so I follow the Profit First model. I just finished reading Atomic Habits, which was very good. And I'm currently reading Dream Manager.
Well, I haven't read Dream Manager, but I've read all the others. Great selections. And I admire the way you manage to not limit yourself to one book.
Yeah, it's like vacation. It's just, just one. There's so many great things about, and I think it depends too. What may be my favorite book right now, it's going to be based on what I feel like my biggest weaknesses are right now or my biggest challenges. And so hopefully in 6 months, whatever I'm struggling with now, it'll be something different then because I'll have overcome this. And then it might be a different book that's my favorite book at that time. So
good stuff. So Renee, I feel like people who listen to this will say to themselves, I wish Renee could be my coach. And I know you do some coaching through ServiceNation's Premier program. If somebody was interested in learning more about that or getting in touch with you, what would be a good way to do that?
I am asked about it and my coaching is through ServiceNation. And so I always put people in touch with Chris Michel. And so I say, reach out to Chris. I'll send his contact information because he can share actually way better than I can what coaching looks like. And, you know, I think too, when you're looking at coaching, I would encourage you to really think about what it is you need out of coaching. And so maybe it is something that I could work on you with and towards those goals. But once you really get down to what you need right now, it may be something different than kind of what my niche is. And it may be a different coach that would be the best fit. And so Chris can really help to navigate what your goals are, what your struggles are, your challenges, your strengths to really pair you up with that person who's going to help get you there. Angie Snow, she's the owner of Western Heating and Cooling out in Utah. I remember she told me this early on. She said, you'll probably have, and you should have, a different coach about every couple of years. And the reason is because say you want to really get your financials in order in your business. Well, you're going to find a financial driven coach to help you do that and to help you understand it and get into those habits and those systems of managing your business from a financial standpoint every single week. Once you accomplish that, then it's time to move on to the next thing. And so it's very likely going to be a different coach that's going to help you with that new set of challenges that you have. And so just keeping in mind that when you pick a coach or you interview a coach, you want to find somebody whose niche or specialty is what your real weaknesses and struggles are right now.
Good point. Yeah, you have to take a hard look at yourself, think about what it is you really need, and then select a coach appropriately.
Yeah, good and point. I will say too, is to make coaching work for you, you have to be in a place where you're ready to implement. And so many people, they are caught up in the day-to-day, and I get it. I've been there. But you have to be in a place to where you're ready to put in the extra effort and the extra time. I've just started reading The 5 a.m. Club on a recommendation of somebody else. And this is in addition to Dream Manager. I rarely start a second book at the same time, but I'm almost done with Dream Manager. So I went ahead and started this. But just a few pages in, it talks about how, I'm not going to say this verbatim, but the smallest steps of implementation way outweighs the grandest intentions. And I think that's a very powerful, and it's remembering those little tiny baby steps is what it takes rather than just ideas and intentions.
Yep. The road to hell is paved with good intentions.
Yes, 100%. Yes.
So speaking of reading, you've mentioned a lot of books. You've read a lot of books. How do you find time to read?
Well, I love to read. And so when we travel, I always have about 3 books with me because I do a lot of reading there. And I set aside time. So sometimes throughout the year, I really try to set aside a little bit of time, even if it's an hour each week, especially Friday tends to be my day that I really want to set aside an hour during the day to read. But I do a lot of reading in the evenings. It's kind of my wind down before I go to bed is I'll read. And if I'm tired, I may get through a page. That's it, yeah, before I'm falling asleep. But I'm actually, the reason I'm reading the 5 a.m. Club is because I'm starting a strong morning routine is one of my goals for the remainder of the year. And so reading is going to be a part of that morning routine.
Good practice. Well, Renee, thank you so much for doing this. This has been fabulous. It's always interesting to talk to you. Anybody listening to this is going to learn a lot and walk away feeling more motivated. So thanks for doing it. Congratulations again on the very well-deserved honor.
Thanks.
And thanks for doing this podcast with me.
Well, I really appreciate you having me on. I always enjoy it.
We're always looking for good ideas and interviews for our podcast. If you have an idea or maybe you think you should be interviewed, just shoot an email to profilesinprosperity@serviceroundtable.com. That's profilesinprosperity@serviceroundtable.com. If you think what we're doing has any value, it would be very helpful if you would give us a great rating on iTunes. Thanks for your support. Hope to see you again soon. Bye.